Thank God I'm free.
Yes.
So if you've ever been where you weren't free, you appreciate being free. Amen.
Yes.
I can still remember what it was like. Amen.
Yes.
I thank God. Where am I putting this at? Somewhere. I already got a phone in there. Get rid of that. We don't need that. Well, I count it a privilege and honor to be here with you folks tonight. You don't know me and you don't need to, amen. But I love you. I love your church. I love your pastor. And I thank God for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and preach.
Amen.
Thank God for any opportunity. This is a special place in my heart. And I thank God for you and the testimony that you have around the world. Let's look in our Bibles in a familiar text, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I do appreciate your prayers for Brother Brian and I as we go over to Europe this week. Somebody says it's not the best time in the world to go to Europe. It may be a pretty good time.
Yeah, right.
There may be some folks looking for something. Amen. And we know a man who can. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Familiar text. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I do love you tonight, Lord. You know, Lord, that we're not able, Lord, but you are able, Lord. And I thank you for that tonight, Lord. And I pray you'll preach through us, Lord, to your people, Lord. I pray you minister to hearts here tonight, Lord. I do ask you to bless this dear church, Lord. Thank you for Brother Farley, Lord, what he's meant to me and my ministry and my life these years, Lord. Thank you for these men of God around this building, Lord, and the courage that they've been. I pray, Lord, just for a little while, Lord, we'll just focus our attention on you tonight, Lord. And I pray you have the preeminence, Lord. I know that's the desire of those here tonight. It's the desire of my heart that you be glorified tonight one more time in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So familiar text here. I love to preach about the parts there we may get to, about the exceeding abundantly above all that we ask for. Amen. Thank God that I have a God that's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But I can't get past the now unto him. Now unto him. So we got this verse here. It says, "Now unto him." And then it begins to explain who he is. He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he goes through all that. And then he finishes it again. It's almost like a parenthetical phrase there. And then he says, "Unto him be glory in the church." And I'm interested tonight, it's just by way of introduction, of bringing honor and glory to Christ in my life and in the church. Amen. I believe that's what we were placed here for. Does not Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 say all things were created by him? Does it? They were created for his pleasure, the Bible says there. It says over there, "And that thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And we were here to bring honor and glory to him. Now I love to focus on all the things that he does and all that he's able to do. And we may talk about it in just a moment, but I recognize when I see all that he's able to do and all that he has done, that I've got to say glory to God.
Amen.
Hey, I think about that song sometimes, the Bible that says over there, the one that says, "Do you remember when you were drowning in your sea of sin?" And of course, says, "Give him the glory for what he's done in your life." And I'm excited tonight about him and about bringing him honor and glory. Amen.
Yes.
And that's what the apostle's interested in us doing. He says, "Now unto him." Now, when I read that phrase, my mind goes to a different verse. It goes to Psalms 115, verse 1. You want to look there with me real quick? We'll come back here. Psalms 115 and verse 1. Now, what's that one say? "Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake."
Yes.
Now unto him, not unto us.
Amen.
God's glory is for God and God alone. But it's amazing how us and our old carnal flesh sometimes can begin to think that we're doing a good job and begin to think, "Hey, God may be using me," or God, "Look what God's done in our lives." And we begin to recognize the blessings and not the blesser, and we forget that, "Hey, this is all about him." Amen.
Yes.
Hey, why is the glory unto him? Because he's the one that did the work. Now in him that is able. Hey, you know what? You're not able, and neither am I.
Yep.
Hey, when I look down my little pew at my home and I see my little kids' little heads there, you know what I say? "Lord, I'm not able."
I'm not able to raise a family for the glory of God,
but He is. Amen. When I stand behind this pulpit, I say, Lord, I'm not able. But He is. Amen. So why would I get any glory? Because I know unto Him be glory in the church. Amen. I thank God that He lets us have some part. I thank my God He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. But I recognize that it's not about me, but it's about Christ in me and what He can do through you and I. And tonight I want to talk about exceeding and abundantly, but I want to talk about first unto Him. Amen. Now unto Him. Jude in verse 24 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Over and over again in the Bible, I find this phrase, now unto Him, now unto Him, now unto Him, now unto Him. But all around as I travel, a few places I go, and if you look on that dumb social media and you see preachers and people nowadays, it's not about Him. It seems like it's always about us. And if I know anything about God, I know that pride is a God repellent. God resisteth the proud, the Bible says, but He gives grace to the humble. But yet we somehow believe because God has used us or allowed us to have some opportunity that we've done something. But Apostle Paul reminds us here, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. It's not my power. Amen. I don't have any power. He's got the power. But he's looking for us to be willing vessels that He can channel through us, be the conduit to minister to a lost and dying world. But He's looking for people that'll give Him the glory. Now unto Him, He says, be glory in the church. And then that's the next phrase, by Christ Jesus. We don't even have anything to do with the church. Hey, I just got born again by the grace of God. He put me in the church and the family of God, but it's His church. It's not my church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's looking for somebody to give Him some glory. I really believe in that. So as we think about these verses for just a few minutes, let me look at the time. I want you to remember as we think about all God has done for you, and what God's able to do for you and I. Give Him the glory. Amen. Give Him the glory tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 29 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. I wonder if I've ever been engaged in, and I know I have, in taking what doesn't belong to me. Taking the glory of God. Again, somebody will come by and say, hey, you did a good job. Or think, and I have to be real careful. Hey, you want to do a good job, of course, for the Lord. You want God to do a good job through you, right? You don't want to just be a preacher flop every time you preach, right?
Sure.
Or nobody want to have you. You might want to have me after this, and I don't blame you. I don't want to have me either. Amen. But I thank God that He's able. Amen. But at the same time, I'm getting nervous. I went and preached a place the other day, and I picked on these folks. That's one of those Bible college places. And you got ready to preach, and everybody jumps up, preach, and they're banging on their Bibles and all this stuff, and hooping and hollering. And I was a nervous wreck. Man, just quit. Stop. I just want to preach. And they kept on, so I started reading my text. And I guess that's their norm, but I said, hey, it's not about me. That verse I gave you over there, the Psalms 115, verse 1, I got a date written beside it in my Bible. The day the Lord made that verse come alive in my life. And ever since then, you sign a Bible for people on occasion, you put a verse, and that's the Lord's gave me as my life verse. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. But to Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and Thy truth's sake. We're going through a little problem in our a health problem with one of my children. He was 2 months old, and he had a whooping cough. Pertussis, they called it. And the problem was that we kept taking to the doctor, but they couldn't figure out what it was. Excuse me. So over and over again, we go to a doctor, and they send us back home. He's got asthma. He's got this. He's just a little baby. And we went to LaBonner Children's Hospital there in Memphis, a wonderful hospital. And sent us back home. Probably on the third occasion that we went to the hospital, there was a nurse there. Thank God for nurses. We got any nurses here tonight? Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Because a lot of y'all do a lot more than the doctors, I believe. But especially some of y'all that had babies. And what's the doctor? He just shows up and gets paid. The nurse does everything. The doctor shows up. But anyways, this nurse looked at me. She knew exactly what it was. We were in the waiting room. She grabbed the baby and tore out. And we fell in behind her. She knew exactly what it was. All these doctors had misdiagnosed. But the problem was they let him go so long without giving the medication that he was beginning to struggle. Have you ever seen that? The terrible illness. The baby began to cough and cough and cough. And then he'd get ready to breathe in. He couldn't. He just gasped. Of course, eventually you gasp long enough, you turn blue, and then you pass out. Or if you do it long enough, your heart quits beating, which happened to him a few times. And so here we are, young, a married couple, and my wife, she's super spiritual, thank God for her, but she's been praying for faith. Lord, increase our faith. Hey, don't pray that. Bless you, man. I'm thinking, hey, I want a faith injection. We got a faith injection, man. We go down to the ICU, then, you know, for several weeks there. But anyways, we begin to pray, and I thank God for it now, right? At the time when you're in the storm, the water's getting a little deep, and you're just paddling to stay on top. But when you get on the other side, you recognize how good God was to you, how much He loved you to let you go through something. And we went through this thing, and the Lord taught us some things, man. I believe He taught us how to pray. I believe it increased our faith. Because when a doctor looks at you and says, we've done all that you can do, all that we can do, if you pray. What do? Pray. Yes. What else can you do? Look at this little baby. And so I remember my wife and I had not left the hospital for weeks. Some of y'all been there. I don't want to bring back bad memories. And finally, we just were tired. We just needed to go. So my dad... we never left him alone ever, but my dad had been over there. My sister Melanie, if y'all support New Guinea with Brother Chad, she was there at the hospital with him. And so we finally go over to the hotel, just enough to get a shower, you know, cleaned up. And it's just more than we can bear. Amen. You ever been there? You just had more than you could bear. And so we just melted there on the carpet there in this hotel room. Me on one side, my wife on the other side, and just began to pray. I don't know what she was praying, and she don't know what I was praying, but we got done, we came to the same conclusion. That this was not about us. It was not even about our son. It was about God and His glory. Amen. And I can remember the moment in that place when I said, Lord, He belongs to You. Now when He was born, just months before, I took Him down to the altar and I said, Lord, He's Yours and You do what You want to with Him. And now, Lord, what are You doing? I guess You're doing what You want to with Him. If you take Him to heaven, He's Yours. If you leave Him here, He's Yours. Whatever you want to do with Him, you can do. Now, in the middle of all this is going on, my dad called me and said, son, this is bad. Get to the hospital now. His heart had stopped beating. They had resuscitated him. It was bad. They're fixing to put him on the ventilator. And so I couldn't go to the hospital. I can't explain it to you. I just couldn't go to the hospital. There was nothing I could do for him. But I knew one that could help him. So in the middle of all that, I just hit the floor again. We're just praying and giving it to the Lord. And my dad, are you coming up here? I can't come up right now. I just can't explain to you. Just give it to God. We'll be there when we get there. And it was amazing. My sister later on, she said, I'm glad you told me that story because I got mad at you. I couldn't figure out why you wouldn't come up to the hospital. I said, I couldn't come to the hospital. I needed the Lord to do something. And I recognized the Lord. And what this has to do with all this, I'm not sure. But I recognized that the Lord wanted me to give Him glory. I thought that as a young man that had been surrendered to preaching, and the Lord was using us in the church and using us in the Christian school and all those things, that I had it all going my way. And in just a moment, the Lord showed me that I didn't have anything going my way. And without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I was in a mess. And He controls life and death. He controls blessings and curses. It's all in His hand. And at that moment, when I recognized that, you know, I remember. So we prayed and we talked about those things. And I give and the Lord spoke to me, but He still hadn't given me the verse yet. So I go back to the hospital. And I finally get there. And they resuscitated Him again. This, I don't know what he was. I don't know what he meant. The doctor had the towel on his head. He helped him out. And he spared his life. The Lord did that night. And so the next morning we're in there. And I'm with my dad this time. And we're praying. And the Lord gives him a verse. And he says, that verse over there says, he shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. He said, son, the Lord just told me He's going to die. I said, well, it's funny. The Lord just told me, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but in Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and truth's sake. And at that moment, I wrote that date in my Bible. And from then on, I recognized, and it didn't matter. I know it matters now, and I thank God it turned out the way it did. But honestly, in my heart at that moment, God was in control. It really didn't matter. I knew that He was on the throne, and that He was in charge, and that He was going to take care of everything, whichever way it came out. And I thank God for that. And so as I read this text, now unto Him, as I said, my mind rushes back to not unto us. Now unto Him. Because one of the worst things it seems like sometimes the Lord can do is bless some of us. Amen. Because when He starts blessing, you say, that's a crazy statement. Well, is it? The Lord starts blessing, and we start thinking we don't need Him. We forget He's the fountain from which all the blessings flow. And we begin to, when the times are good, you know, we think we don't need Him. But then He allows some problem or some trouble or some pride to come our way to say, hey, I'm still here. Hey, I'm still God. And are you going to trust Me? Or are you going to trust in yourself? And when you get to those moments, you recognize yourself not much to trust Him. So if God's going to bring me to those places where I've got to trust Him, then I recognize that nobody could have did what He did except Him. The doctor says, I can't do anything. I remember next door. We're in this, you're talking about before COVID, And way back then, but we're already in these hazmat suits. I don't know what they were. You know, the mask, everything we're doing now, like we had to go in and out of this, you know, I don't know what it was. This room that he was in, and they had all this oxygen going in there. But next door to us was this Hindu family. And their son was dying. And man, they chanted, they wrote, I don't know, they kept doing something about it. Some of y'all might know about it. They were writing things backwards in a book. They did everything. And I could hear that caterwauling going on in there, that moaning, that singing. And as their son was dying, and he was just a mess. And I began to read that. And then the Lord gave me that verse, and I started singing about our God. He says, let me read it real quick. I knew my outline wasn't going to work. That's all right. The Lord told me to go a different way. So the Bible said over there, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Yeah.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that might make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. He begins to talk about all Israel trusting the Lord, house of Aaron trusting the Lord. Then he uses that wonderful verse, the Lord hath been mindful of us. But I remember I was reading all that, and all this is going on next door. And I'm thinking, the Lord says, hey, I need somebody to show my glory in this place. I need somebody to be a Christian and to walk through this valley as a Christian. And I want somebody to come out the other side so other people say, hey, not look what we did, but look what God did. I need somebody that I can be a testimony to. And the Lord's looking now, and I believe back in our text, in Ephesians chapter 3, as the apostle said, he's reminding us of all that he's done. But why is he reminding us of all that he's done and all that he's able to do? So that you will give him honor and glory for what he's done in your lives.
Yes.
Unto him that is able. God, he's able. Thank God I have an able God.
Yes.
I could preach on that a while. But we'll keep moving. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I thank God I have an exceeding God. Amen. I begin to look at those words and break that down. Exceeding. To exceed means to go beyond, to surpass, to excel, outdoing. And thank God that we have a God that unto him we're giving glory. Why? Because he's a God that can go beyond. Thank God he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. Thank God when he prayed, the Bible said he went a little farther. Thank God we have a God that's able. You say, well, you don't understand how bad my situation is. Hey, I'm not making light of the situation that you're in. But when you've got a God that can raise a man that's 4 days seeking death,
yeah.
What problem in your life is too big that God can't fix?
Yeah.
Hey, he may not fix it the way you want to fix it. But I'm telling you, when God steps in, he can make the difference. And maybe, my niece wrote a song called Jesus is the Answer. And maybe that we're looking for the wrong answer. And God's just trying to point us to him. And so, here in this text, we won't turn to it, but John chapter 11, you remember the story of Lazarus there, and he's dead, he's been gone for 4 days, and Jesus comes to speak, and Martha comes running to him and begins to cry out, you know, if he had been here, my brother had not died. And she believed that Jesus had healing power, but she somehow, her mind didn't go so that he had resurrection power. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, Lord, I know that you'll raise him up in the last day. She had enough faith to get, you know, so far, but not enough. See, that's the way it is with our Lord. Unto him that's able to do exceeding. Yeah. You know what? Your mind won't even begin to think about what God can do. Now, this is a church that's seen God move in a mighty way. But you know what? Too much is given, much is required. Hey, in this church, as much as you've seen God do, he can do more. Amen. He can do so much more. He's an exceeding God. He goes beyond. He surpasses. He excels. And I'm saying to you here, this Lazarus was in the grave. He's dead. He's stinking. And the Lord shows up. Y'all know the song. I think McCamey's singing. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late? He's right on time. Amen. And he shows up right on time. And I can identify with some situations in my life when it just seemed like there was just no answer but God. Amen. And then God was able to come and meet me. And I thank God for that. But if I'm not careful, I get so consumed with what God did to not recognize who God is. That it was God that did it. We get to thanking God for the Son, and thanking God for what he did for him, and patting him on the back, and God saved our boy, but we forget to give God the glory. He's the one that did it.
Yes.
And he did it. And I didn't do it. He did it. He's able to do exceeding, the Bible says that. Number two, it says abundantly. You know what that means. Fully, amply, plentifully, in a sufficient degree. Thank God I got a God that's able to exceed abundantly. You know, God can save anyone. Can you believe that? Yeah, dear preacher friend, he's been praying for his sister for 40 years. 40 years she's been lost. You know what happened? COVID happened. And guess what? services had to be online. So what sister started doing? She started checking out the service. She started watching. Week in and week out. She's in another country. She's in Ireland, matter of fact. Well, one Sunday afternoon, she calls. Hey, brother, I want to be saved. You have to lead her to the Lord over the phone. After 40 years.
Amen.
What I'm saying, don't give up. Keep praying. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Amen. Abundantly. Fully, amply, plentifully. I think about that story. I remember your preacher preaching on it, Brother Farley, preaching on a missions conference about that widow with those vessels of oil. I know Brother Brad preached on it not long ago. But, you know, they began to fill those vessels. And you know what they filled? As many vessels as they brought. They kept filling them and filling them and filling them. And you remember the story that her husband had died and that, you know, her sons were going to be sold to the creditors and they had to do something. So she came to the prophet and the prophet told her, you know, ask her what's in your house. And she got that oil and began to pour it out. But it's just amazing. It's a picture of what God does. It just kept pouring and they just kept pouring and they just kept pouring. And I can see my mind, I don't know about y'all, I can see my little kids there. And here we are, we got all these jugs. I don't know what they had. Maybe they had mason jars, maybe they had barrels. I don't know. Well, they had everything they could find. They'd gathered up. Can you imagine the excitement on their face? You know, the first one was pretty good, but when the second one, the third one, and the fourth, and they're pouring and God's blessing and blessing. And they think, surely this will be the last one, but now there's one more. Hey, bring me one more. And over again, he continues to fill and fill until finally they say, bring me another vessel. And they say, there's no vessels more. That's what kind of God we have. Hey, you say, we know that, but yeah, we forget it sometimes. We think that our God, his hand is short and that he cannot reach. We think he's limited. The only thing I find in the Bible that ever limits Jesus Christ is the faith of men. Our faith will limit him. That's the only thing I ever found in the Bible that would limit him. I'm talking about exceeding abundantly. But the Bible doesn't say exceeding abundantly. It puts them together. Let me get back in my text. It's not a comma in there. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now you put those two together. Exceeding, beyond, abundantly, full. You know what you do? You're beyond full. Amen. And that's what I find with my Lord. He's able to, as the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. Amen. And when he gives me all that I can stand, I can't stand no more still. He continues to pour and to bless. Because that's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God that you've seen when you've taken up these offerings. And nobody can understand or explain how a handful of people could do what God could do. And the truth is, you couldn't do it. But he did. Amen. And thank God for it. But hey, give him the glory for it. He lets you be a part of that. He lets you see the Lord do. He lets this church give what you give to missions. He lets you have the ministries that you have. Give him the glory. And I know you do. But thank God we have a beyond full, exceeding abundantly. And then we have above, the next verse says. Exceeding abundantly above. We have these three adverbs here. Above. Superior in any respect. More in number or quantity. More in degree. In a greater degree, beyond, in excess, above. Amen. Thank God I've got a God that's above. Amen.
Yes.
Superior in any respect. I was thinking about it. I was telling you about those men, even my mind now, about those folks in that next room and all they went through. And we tried to talk to them. They weren't very open to the gospel. They were into their religion that they had going on there. And I just want my heart and it broke for them. I recognize they were praying to a God that did not exist. And here I am, God of God, that's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Not just above all that I ask, but all that I ask to think. You can't even think as big as God is. Hey, there's some big thinkers right here. You got a big vision here. But even you can't think as big as God is. Hey, some of y'all ever been to that Ark Encounter thing in Kentucky? Right? Someone looked at that Ark. They got a commercial or whatever, and the ad says, think bigger. Right? Have you ever been there? It's a big boat. Think bigger. And I think sometimes churches, we just need to think bigger. Amen. We need to think. We need to say, well, I know God could do this, but he couldn't. No, take the butts out of it. I remember a preacher preaching on that. Stop butting God. Stop telling God what he can do and let him show you what he can't do. Amen. Stop telling God what he can't do and let him show you what he can do. Brother Stanley Blue preached that years ago. But at any rate, the Bible says there that they were able, that he is able unto him that is able. And as I said when I started, it's all about him. Because I'm not able to do exceeding. I'm not able to do abundantly. I'm not able to do above. Hey, if you go by what I got, you're not going to have much. But when you go by what God's got, it's an endless supply. Amen. They found there in John chapter 6, you know, the feeding of the 5,000. These folks are out there and the disciples are fishing in their pockets. You know how some of us do when it's just offering time and we just, if we had it, we'd give it, but we didn't have anything to give. They were fishing, and
Lord, we don't have anything, and there's a lot, I've heard what he says, 200 penny worth is not sufficient enough to feed these folks. There's just no way. These are disciples that have been with Jesus. These are disciples that have seen the miracles of the Lord. These are people that have seen Him work over and over again, and now here it is, time to feed some people. And they say, Lord, there's just no way. Just send them away. Send them away. He said over there in verse John chapter 6. I'll turn there. I'm talking a lot. Let's just read. John chapter 6. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. John 6 and verse 5. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I like this verse right here. And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. The Lord knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And we know he doesn't tempt anybody. But here he proved them. He said, hey, are you going to believe me or not? You going to trust me or not? Hey, I tell you one time, I was in a meeting. I'll give a personal testimony. But I was in a meeting in Barrow, Alaska. I was up there at a missions conference. And I was with my dad. He was preaching. I was just there with him. I preached a couple times. But he was the main preacher, of course. And I was just hanging out there. I really didn't do much. Just there. And one night, this preacher preached. And he said, maybe the Lord's telling somebody here to empty their wallet to play. I said, oh, no. You know, the Lord said, empty your wallet to play. I said, no, Lord. I can't empty my wallet to play. I literally had $91, I think, in the world at that time. My wife had called me on the phone that day. And she said, look, I messed up. I wrote a check on an old account. And everything was messed up. And I said, look, just don't worry about it. When I get home, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll just have to do what we can do. So I went to, it was on me. The Lord was, you put that in there. And you know why? Because he knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to prove me. You know what I didn't do? I did not put it in there. I sat on to it. I was holding on to my $91. And like that was going to do me some good. And you know what? The end of the service, it got so bad that I didn't want that $91 anymore. It was hurting me. And the brother I remember is a Tongan brother. Anyways, you wouldn't know him anyhow. But anyways, he's up here on the front row and he's counting the money. And I said, all right, Lord, I surrender all. I went up there and I said, Lord told me to put this in. I'm sorry I missed the plate when it came back. And I put it in. So, I said, all right, I'm broke. It don't matter. I'm broke anyway. So, what's $90? I'm with my dad. He won't let me start at this. I got a plane ticket home. So, hey, I'll make it. Right? Everything's going to be all right. And I don't want to tell a story. Matter of fact, this was the first year I went. I didn't even preach. I'll roll that back. I preached since then. I didn't preach that year. I was just hanging out. I didn't preach. I didn't sing. I didn't do anything that year. And we get ready to leave. The preacher comes by and hands an envelope. Oh, praise the Lord. And I look in there and I saw 2 5. And I said, and I stuck in my pocket. Well, that's a blessing. And I said, my dad asked me later. He said, well, I said, the preacher gave you something. I said, yeah, he gave me $200. He said, you better look at that again. So I looked in there. There was some zeros behind that 2 5. It was $2,500. And you know what? The Lord showed me there. He said, here you are, worried about $91. Like it's, like you can put really a lot of faith and trust in that. And here I am wanting to do something for you. I'm wanting to do something exceeding abundantly, above all, that you would even ask or think. You'd even think in your mind when my wife called, I'd say, well, I can figure this out. We'll pray it in. I wasn't that spiritual. I'll pray it in and God will bless. I just wasn't there. But God, you know what? I learned the lesson that night. Amen. And the Lord showed me something. He said, hey, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we always talk about money because that's what we can see. But the Lord has done so much greater for us than money. So many things in our life that are so much greater than a few dollars. But somehow those are little tangible things. I'll tell you one more real quick before I get done. I was at a missionary came by going to, I love missionaries just like y'all do, going to Australia. And now this is when we were first married. You're talking about poor. We had a lot of O's in there. Poor. All right. And I worked at a Christian school, brother. That's a good way to get broke. And I'm telling you, I had quit. The Lord had told me to leave my job, all that. And I'm sorry, it's going to be story time with Brother Daniel. But I'm just telling you how good God is. And I remember this missionary came by. And here, this night, you think I learned a lesson this night. This night, I only got a $20 bill, right? And I'm holding on to my $20 bill. Same scenario. I think I failed the school. God put me through it again. But same scenario. Brother Matt Sandifer is his name. He's pastor in Florida now. He never went to Australia, and he owes me $20. But anyways. And so I'm taking my... So I got my $20 and Lord says, put it in the plate for the missionaries. The Lord, I can't give them that $20. I'm just about to suffer for the kids. We just had 2 kids in August. We're going to get a big McDonald's Happy Meal, a Big Mac or something. I don't know. That was before. Well, I won't get political. But anyways, $20 went a little further back then. And so I got my $20 bill. And this time I did even worse. I didn't give them my $20 bill. We got all the way to the end of the night. This brother's in the van. He's leaving. And you're talking about $20 eating a bed of life. Man, Lord, I ain't going to be wrong with you over $20. We'll go home and eat some potted meat and crackers or something. We'll get by, you know. And so I flag him down. Brother, I meant to put this in. Oh, the preacher took care of us. The church took care of us. No, trust me. You need this $20 more than I do. And so I give him my little $20. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, believe it, see all that charismatic garbage. But I understand what the Lord did for me that night. So I give this money, $20, to this missionary. And to my wife, I said, well, look, everyone our supper. We'll go home and figure out something. And I'm telling you, Lord is my witness. Phone rings. Hey, Brother Daniel, this is Brother Israel Warren. He's a missionary in life. This is Brother Israel. I'm in Corinth, a cold water, Mississippi. And a furlough or something, a deputation maybe. He said, I want to buy your supper tonight. Why don't you bring your family and meet me at the Cracker Barrel? Cha-ching. I said, here I am. I'm just going to go eat a Happy Meal, be wrong with God, and he wants to give me a country fried steak. Amen. And I said, yes. God.
Yes.
Now, that's silly, isn't it? But you know, that's what God will do for you and I. We cut ourselves, we sell ourselves so short. We think that, and I'm not talking about money. So money's a little thing. God's got all the money, right? He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. That's all. When he's not concerned about money, we're way more concerned about money than he is. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things he'll add unto you. He's got all that covered. Amen. But there's so many things that he does for us like that, and that he wants to do for us, I think. But yet, either he knows that we won't trust him, or he knows we won't give him the glory for it. Amen. We'll say, look what I did. Look what I did. Here he was in verse 6, John chapter 6 and verse 6. And he said, to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I wonder how many times the Lord knows what he wants to do for you. And I give him the way. I've been there. Here comes a bind. We've got to borrow, beg, call somebody. If I'd been at the Red Sea that day, I probably jumped in and swam. Right? Here comes the army breathing down our necks. There's mountain on both sides. And the Lord's got them in a place where they can't do nothing but trust him. Thank God for when he puts us in places. I better not say this, Brother Brian. We might get tested next week. We can do nothing but trust him. You know? But when he does that. Like I said, the redneck in Mississippi for me, I want to break and run. I want to climb something. I want to, you know, almost fight. The Lord says, hey, well, Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord had better than that. Moses said, stand still. The Lord said, hey, just go forward. Just go ahead on. Go ahead and do what I told you to. I told you where to go. Just go.
Yeah.
Red Sea opens up. They cross on dry land. And now, for years to come, they're telling the story. Kids, you won't believe what happened this day. You won't believe what God did. And I love for the Lord to do things like in my life like that so I can bring my little family around and say, hey, let me tell you all what the Lord did this week. Let me tell you about what God did. I even recently, I could tell stories that we were out of, our refrigerator broke down. And I could have went and bought one, but you know, the Lord said, don't buy one, pray for one. Well, Lord, that's kind of strange. I need a refrigerator. But he said, pray for one. So I took the one out. I left the hole empty. I brought the family together. I said, let's pray for a refrigerator. Well, you know what happened. Two nights later, I'm at a meeting. I went out begging. Another one mentioned the preacher. He was talking about something. He said, I said, yeah, brother, when I get home, I got to buy a refrigerator. He said, you need one? I said, yeah. He said, man, I know a man. I like people who know me. I know a man. And so, you know what? We got done. We bought a $3,000 refrigerator. I had to pay for it. I paid $400 for it. And because he knew a man. And I said, hey, no, Lord, that's what the Lord can do. And I thank God for the refrigerator. But more than that, I thank God that I get to bring my family around and say, hey, let me tell y'all what the Lord did. And let me show you how he answered this prayer. And if he cares about whether or not I got a good refrigerator or not, I think he cares about a lot more than that. I think he cares about me and my family. I think he cares about my church and about his goal. And I know that I've seen God work, and I've seen him do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He proved them. Philip said, verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He's Philip like us. He's got his calculator, his pencil. Lord, that doesn't add up. It's not going to work. I've been there. Lord, this just ain't going to work. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, there's a kid here who's got some food, but you know, like that makes a difference. What you have might be just what the Lord's looking for. Amen. It may just be what he wants to use to bring honor and glory to him. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. You know the text. He began to break it and bless it. And then began to pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out. And he did above all that anybody asked or think. How many times in your life has the Lord done above all that you asked or think? You know what? When you have a God that can raise the dead, what problem here is too big for God's soul? When you have a God that has an endless supply, what need can He not meet in your life? What is that one thing? Well, Lord, I know You did all this, but if He can save your never dying soul, give you an eternity in heaven, I think He can handle the little details. Amen. The minutia, as they say. I remember that when I began to pray for a spouse. I said, well, if the Lord can take me to heaven and save my soul, I guess He can find me a wife. And He did. Amen. Young people, just trust the Lord. He's able to exceeding abundantly above all you ask. I thank God for the hope God gave me. Thank God for my wife. He picked them better than I could pick them, for sure. She must be blind, too. But anyways, hey, there's always more than enough when you give it to God. Don't hold it back. The little lad could have ate his lunch. And I don't know if they just took it. I think maybe the little lad was just interested in Jesus having some lunch, maybe. Maybe you just said, hey, give this to the Lord. At least He'll have lunch. But you know, when you give God, give it to God, there's always more than enough. Oh, yeah. How many times have you seen Him do it? Maybe, especially in faith promise missions, I love it. Hey, this guy only has 100. This guy's only got a dime. But you put it together and God blesses it and uses it. When people begin to give, to trust God, we see what God's able to do. And then when in return, it says over there, let's see if I wrote it down, what I was looking for. It says over there in I got notes everywhere. That's dangerous. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 over there. I'll bring this thing to a close here in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. Y'all know these texts. It's the handbook on faith promise missions. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you all, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's able. To make all, that's a 5-8 promise, all grace, always, all sufficiency, all things. He can make it abound to every good work. Hey, I thank God He's able. He's able to meet the needs. He's able to do through us what we can never do through ourselves. People around the country don't even believe what God's ever been able to do through this way. You've seen God move. I say give Him the glory. Amen. I say give Him the glory. Thank God that you're able to be part of a local church. Thank God that you're able to see God working. Not just an independent Baptist church, but a missions for independent Baptist church. I thank God. It's not a missions message, but oh, we can preach on that. You've seen just like I have. When you give what you've got to the Lord, how He'll bless it over and over and over again. Dr. Adrian Rogers was an old Southern Baptist preacher. Some of y'all may know him in Memphis for years. He said, there's no promise too hard for God to fulfill. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too big for God to solve. There's no person too hard for God to save. I'm telling you tonight, we've got a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know that verse. We've said that verse. We've quoted it so much. But I think sometimes we forget. Amen. We forget who we're dealing with. Amen. Yeah. We forget who lives down deep inside my heart. Amen. We forget the God that we serve. The great I Am. The same great I Am of the Old Testament is the same great I Am that in the form of the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart. And He's wanting to work and do His work through you and I. We're just going to have some faith. And you're going to have to give God the glory. I go back to our text as I get ready to close. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How does He do all this exceeding abundantly stuff? He does it according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm thinking you've seen it in your church, in your life. You find a little group of people that just haul off and trust God, just put their faith in Him. There's no telling what God can do. They begin to glorify and to praise God, give Him glory for what He's done. And don't begin to try to hold it to themselves, but give it back to Him. When God finds out He can trust us with our faith, He can trust us. If we won't steal His glory, there's no telling what God can do in us and through us. Abraham was a friend of God. He trusted God even with his own son, didn't he? God didn't want his son. We know that. He wanted Abraham. These things that we're holding on to, that are keeping us from having this relationship with God that He wants to have with us. Most of the time, God don't want those things. He just wants you. He just wants your heart. I'm sorry I've been a little scattered tonight. But I want you to consider who it is that we're talking about. Amen. And I want you to go back down memory lane. I think some of y'all probably got some stories to tell, don't you? Some of you have seen the Lord show up and meet. Some of you have some of those hospital run prayer meetings happening. Some of y'all have seen the Lord save a soul that they said never should be saved. Some of you have seen Him deliver and you thought there was no way out. Some of you have been in a prayer meeting when God answered the prayer.
Yes.
You knew He was going to do it. Even before He did it, He gave you a word. So thank you, Lord. You just give it to Him. I'm saying give God glory for that. Give God glory on a Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for what You've done for me. God, I glorify You for allowing me. He said unto him be glory in the church. I go to a lot of churches and I think, God, this isn't one of them where there's not much glory being given to the Lord. Not many folks there. I think a lot of folks, if they came in, they wouldn't even know who He was. Oh, friend. Once you've ever met Him, you can't help but love Him. Once you begin to love Him, it begins to work in your heart and life. Oh, yeah, you can't help but give Him the glory. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and these looks like these folks are going to sing. Turn it over to Brother Nathan, do as he sees fit. And all the scattered thoughts tonight, I want you to know that He's able. I want you to just give Him the glory for it. Father, I love You. I thank You for the Word of God. It's true, Lord. I thank You more than that, Lord. The Spirit of God, Lord. The person, Lord, of God that's met with our hearts so many times, Lord. He delivered, Lord, and provided, Lord. When we saw no way out, Lord, You made a way. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to preach the Word of God one more time, Lord. I pray You have Your will and Your way in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you remember? that message, Brother Daniel. It's not about us, it's about Him.
Yes.
That's what our devotion was this morning in the school. Even all the way back to salvation. Salvation is not about us getting saved so we can have things and have heaven. That happens. But it's about us becoming part of the family of God so we can bring Him glory.
Yeah.
Not about you. It's about Him. And He's worth it. Every bit of it. Thank God for His goodness. Thank you for being here tonight. Miss Kara, if you come to the piano, we're going to have a word of prayer to dismiss here. But once we dismiss, we'll go ahead and take an offering for Brother Daniel. And you just come right up and just put it in here. And just try to tell him thank you for coming and helping us out tonight. And I know you will. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you for another good service. Lord, a good chance to be in your house with your people. Father, I pray that you would bless the words that were spoken tonight. Lord, help your people. Help us as we go through the rest of this week. Lord, we do pray for Mr. Laura's mother, Rachel, and Lord, for Brother Terry and his wife. Father, I pray that you help them. And Father, we just ask that you have your will and way. Lord, bless this offering. Give us a good night. In Jesus' name, amen.